Hello and welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be talking about calorhythms. Everybody knows about calorhythms. It's on the tip of our tongue, and maybe it needs to be. If it's not, we're going to be talking with a wonderful guest who is the creator of calorhythms. Maybe he's the creator of the understanding of calorhythms, since calorhythms have always existed, and we needed to learn about them and understand their existence. And so to join us today is the revealer of calorhythms. Let's call it the revealer, rather. And maybe he discovered them also, even though he didn't invent them. These have been around, and he'll explain all of that. David Katzmeier. Hi, David.
Good morning, Peter.
I'm so glad you could join us this morning. Now, calorhythms have to do with rhythms, and they're rhythms of, it's like a sine wave traveling through time, showing us the ups and downs of our physical, emotional, and intellectual beingness. Would that be true?
That is true, yes.
Okay. And what's amazing is that you have figured it out. You've understood not only how these rhythms work, but where in time they start for each of us. And for instance, for the United States, that's a big one, and that's, I think, what we're going to spend some time on, is what's been happening in our lives through history that is revealed by the calorhythms. What are they showing us that we can learn about our present and our future, as well as our past?
Indeed. They show us a great deal. They show us where we were, where we are, and where we're going in the dynamic influences of energy.
Now, let's break this down. There are three calorhythms. There are three specific sine waves that move through history.
Yes.
And each one represents a different way that we're affected in life. And we each have our own, what's called a biorhythm, and you might call it a calorhythm. I've known about them for many, many years, and have consulted them a number of times. I never seem to appreciate their presence. Maybe I haven't interpreted it right, or maybe we don't know the right starting date, because all these rhythms have to start at a point in time of a beginning. And in the United States, it began at a certain time in your estimation, and it makes sense because you're showing how they work, and you can prove it. And the proof really is very revealing. We're going to talk about that. Let's talk about each of the rhythms in particular. Can you tell us, go one by one, there are three of them.
Yes. You mentioned rhythms of a person and rhythms of a nation, and there's a parallel there. So let's start with biorhythms so that we have a familiar point of reference from which to move.
Well, biorhythms might not be that familiar to our audience.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
Biorhythms start within you from the day that you're born. And you have a physical cycle of 23 days long where you go through highs and lows. And you have an emotional cycle that lasts 28 days long, bringing you highs and lows in your feelings, and an intellectual cycle with highs and lows of 33 days. Now, these start from the day you're born and start going through all of their patterns, and combinations of highs and lows result because each cycle is of a different duration. So you can have a day when you're maybe feeling up physically, but you're not very emotional. Or you could have a day when your intellectual cycle is high, and if you're a college student, you're more likely to test better. In fact, that's one of the ways we discovered the intellectual cycles, from notes from college professors who found that students tended to do better at certain times of the month than others. And these patterns continue throughout your life with consistent periodicity. So by just merely calculating what day you were born and how many days you've been alive based on today's date, you'll be able to see your position in your physical cycle, your emotional cycle, and your intellectual cycle.
So now, if you're an athlete, that might really be very helpful.
That's very true. In fact, many sports trainers do follow the 23-day physical cycle. If you're training in track, boxing, or anything like that, then on the physical highs is when you can really start working yourself out and reaching new limits. But when you're in the physical low cycle, it's advised that you don't take on any new ground. You just maintain what you have done before and stay at that level. Don't try to advance and go with it. You're basically navigating with the currents that are running in your internal rhythms, and you'll do better.
Well, now, so we have emotional, intellectual, and physical.
Yes.
And these start, the biorhythms start, are you sure they start the day of our birth?
It is absolutely on the day you're born. It's not before you're born. You're forming and you're gestating, but it's actually on the day of birth that the clockwork of rhythms all starts from a single point, not at the peak, not at the trough, but at the midpoint, halfway between the two.
And the reason I'm asking you that is that I see that you begin the rhythms, the calorhythms of the United States in 1775, and yet the United States was born in 1776.
So Very good. Yeah. Now we're getting into the fractal relationship of a person to a nation. We as people make up the nation, and if you build a house out of bricks, you're going to have a brick house, and if people build a nation, you're going to have a civilization that has a character of a people, and it will have good days and bad days, it will have its highs and lows, and the cycles of this will take longer than the biorhythms of any one of us because larger institutions are slower to change. Consequently, you're going to have slower moving physical, emotional, and intellectual cycles for the entire nation. And before we talk about the birth, I just want to define, what is physical in a nation, emotional or intellectual? Well, in our modern industrialized world here in the United States, physical for a nation means the quality of our durable goods, our industrial production, our GDP, the fitness and readiness of the armed forces, whether people are working out more or getting sedentary and overweight as they would in the physical low, whether we are disco dancing or Generation X. These are the highs and lows, the physical aspects of the nation. The emotional aspects of a nation are its hopes, its aspirations, its dreams, its speculation, its looking forward to new things, or just cutting back and looking back on the good old days with nostalgia and so forth. If you look at some of the emotional highs and lows we've had in about the last 100 years, you can go back to the gay 90s of the end of the 1900s was a more permissive time, and courtship became more open and so forth. And then after the turn of the century, we were cutting down and going into the era of reforms and muckraking and breaking up the industries. The physical cycle was also going down at that time, too. But we rose again, and the emotional cycle peaked in the 1920s, and the Roaring Twenties resulted, followed by a down in the Great Depression. Back up again in the 50s and the 60s, we hit an emotional peak in the 1960s, and down for Generation X and up high now, bringing us the new spiritual movement, which is pervasive across all segments of society.
And now this spiritual movement is in which of the rhythms?
The emotional cycle is influencing the spiritual movement. The practice of religion, the participation in churches and synagogues, enrollment and so forth, belief and interest in God, things larger and outside of oneself, and spirituality do rise and fall with the 36-year emotional cycle.
And the intellectual cycle is not part of that?
The intellectual cycle, that's one of the earliest questions I had, is religion following the intellectual cycle or the emotional cycle? And the evidence that I've been following since the beginning of our country consistently shows that the emotional cycle is a stronger driver of religion than is the intellectual. The intellectual cycle is more of a empirical, analytical, scientific view.
So it's left brain, right brain.
Well, in Western civilization, left-brain abstract thinking is an advent of the intellectual highs and lows,
right?
Playing chess, mathematical, and that sort of thing.
Right. So the intellectual is really a left-brain chart rhythm, And the right brain is where you see more of the emotional aspects.
That's one way of looking at it, and I think that has application, yes.
Okay, good.
And that's a 44-year cycle. SAT scores of students have been rising and falling consistently with that, too.
So now these cycles of the United States are much longer than our own personal biorhythms. And what are the differences? Is it days versus years?
There are days versus years, but the years don't match the days, per se. We have a 23-day biorhythm in the physical cycle for our bodies. But for the United States, it is a 28-year physical cycle of highs and lows.
And how did you come to that conclusion?
Well, it was by looking at, since there's a fractal relationship between a person and a nation, I was looking at the key elements that might get clues from our own lives, our own bodies. Now, in the human body, there's something called the septennial rhythm of cell development and growth. There's a seven-year cycle in the development of cells in our bodies. So I thought, here's a key, because indeed, knowing that a nation is going to change in a more slow pattern, then I was going to have to make the jump into years. The question was, how many? Well, I had that clue, and there was a clue indicating why there's a nine-year pattern in emotional relationships, and there is a clue in the 11-year development of our bodies, too, and I could give details for that, but you can reference my site, Kalarhythms, KALARhythms.com. But here I had the beginning point of a seven-year development in our bodies physically, nine-year emotional development, and 11-year intellectual development. So I began looking for patterns in history that would be consistent with these durations, and I did not find them. But knowing that there's a fractal relationship, that is, the pattern within represents the pattern on a larger scale of anything of which it is a part, then I began with multiples of it. So instead of 7, 9, and 11, I looked for 14, 18, and 22-year cycles, didn't find anything. Multiplied them by 3, didn't work, and when I multiplied them by 4, that's when I got the 28-year physical, the 36-year emotional, and 44-year intellectual cycle, and I followed the changes of history through 12 categories, all outlined on Kalarhythms.com, where you can see all the different aspects of our society, from political, science and technology, business, fashion, sports, literature and publication, entertainment, more, 12 categories. These timelines moving from the beginning of our country till now, where I'd look at the highs and lows in all of these categories in relation to all of the cycles, and they are a consistent and reliable pattern that show us the map of time, a clockwork of dynamic influence.
I've studied the Kalarhythms that you've shown of the United States, and I find it very fascinating how they really do represent the history of this country in the way that Kalarhythms work. Now, because this is like a sine wave, we have these this chart where these lines rise up and then fall down and up and down, and they cross a midline.
Ah, very good.
And so not only are we interested in the top and the bottom, but we're also interested in the progress in between.
Yes.
Especially as they hit the midline and cross it, then, as you say, it's a time of chaos.
That's right.
And that's very fascinating, because you've pointed out in our history where we have been in chaos, and it is at times where these lines are crossing the midline, these curves are crossing the midline.
That's absolutely true. The midpoint from which we begin at birth, our greatest crisis, is the crossover point from when a cycle is crossing from high to low or from low to high. It must cross the midpoint, and that brings a shake-up and a change. You have to shake up the order in order to shift into a high or into a low. But in so doing, you have a crisis in whatever it may be related. Now, let's take the 28-year physical cycle. That's going to cross over every 14 years. And because it affects the physical aspects of the nation, it can bring brief industrial recessions, it can bring riots in prisons or out in the streets or what have you, because this influences action. It's a very physically based sort of thing.
Now, I want to ask, this is a more subtle question, but is chaos going up or down? So
it matters not whether you're going up or going down. When you cross the midline, that's when you're going to experience a brief period of chaos and crisis.
It sounds to me, though, that when, or it looks to me, that when it crosses the midline going down, it's crisis, it's chaos, that brings us into a lower place, a place where we struggle more. Whereas if it's chaos moving upward, it's, you know, upsetting the apple cart in order to create a better place.
It's absolutely true. So is it castles crumbling or the birth of a new era? That is determined by whether it's crossing down or crossing up.
Now, I'm looking at our chart for the current year. In the current year, that we have the emotional and the intellectual both having peaked and are starting a journey downward. We have the physical actually at a on its way down, and by 2009 crosses the midline. So physically we're going to be...
Well, that's the emotional cycle, pardon me, Peter. That's the emotional cycle crossing
down. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm reading it wrong. The emotional cycle is crossing that. So emotionally we're going to be in crisis in 2009,
yes.
Whereas physically and intellectually we're going to be okay, although it looks like physically we get into trouble in 2013.
Yes.
And intellectually, you get into trouble in 2017.
Yes.
But then we move ahead to 2019, 2020, when we're going to be at a real low, both emotionally and physically.
Yes, and I'm calling for a recession at that point.
Okay. And then we start climbing back.
We do.
And actually, there's a real chaos moving forward, actually a positive chaos, though, because it moves us into a higher place in 2027.
Yes.
But it's at a time, really, where the intellectual is at a low. So that
yes,
maybe we'll
right.
just be kind of happy stupid at that point.
Well, it's at a time that's after it hits the bottom and it starts rising up through the fourth quarter, which is from the bottom back up to the middle, that's when you seek alternatives. You abandon the past. You become iconoclastic, and you use the avant-garde to develop what will later produce the leading trends after the cycle crosses high into the first quarter of setting foundations again.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, that puts us now in a position in which all three cycles are high. I'm very excited about this. And we haven't had anything like this since the 1920s.
Yes.
Even in
yes.
the 1960s, only two of the cycles were high, giving us that magnificent time. Now we're in a trirhythmic high.
That's great, and we should appreciate it while it lasts. What I'm interested in also is in the year 2027, we have this crossing of emotional and physical, and that's the year that in human design... the emotional chakra morphs into a new awareness, and we become more aware of each other.
That's an amazing synchronicity of timing coinciding with the pattern you're describing in
yeah.
the algorithms here.
Yeah.
And it is an upward crossover, and indeed, so it may be a burgeoning point of the fourth chakra coming forth. And
yeah.
being put into action.
Third chakra.
The
emotional chakra.
Very good.
Chakra. Yeah. So
and,
now the but the physical. It's interesting that the physical crosses into chaos on a downward cycle in 2009.
13 is physical.
Physical. You're right. Sorry. I mean emotional.
A moral and emotional yeah. crisis. Briefly hitting the nation is due for us in 2009, so be careful. Whoever are the leaders, they're going to be facing a crisis. And the best thing to do is to understand that it is a time for crisis and not to overreact or make it more than what it is, because at the time it may seem greater than it is, when in fact with the dynamic influences of rhythmic change, it's just something that's due, part of the order.
Yeah, it might just be that because we have a new government in place, 2009, all kinds of past corruption is revealed. And, you know,
that is an interesting aspect of the cycles. When the cycle crosses down into the lower half, crossing the midpoint, it enters a period of third quarter reform and review. And it's here, when you're not in the high anymore, that instead of living the heyday and looking forward and so forth, you then maintain your ground and you look back on what you have done with review and reform. And that which you find to be good as you sort through the past becomes cherished as Americana and nostalgia and so forth. And that which is viewed as something that is bad, that's when you initiate, you have your reforms and your shakeups and so forth. A great example of that is in 1973, we had a very rare occurrence. Two cycles crossed downward at the same time. The emotional cycle and the intellectual cycle crossed down in the spring of 73 to the spring of 74, giving us more than double trouble, because the two of them together created quite an impact. We had the resignation of the vice president and the president, most of his cabinet, and then we entered into a long period of reforms where we shook up the FBI and the CIA. We initiated reforms, we had environmental reforms, and there were things like ABSCAM going after Congress and so forth. And that long period of reform was extended throughout the third quarters of those declining cycles.
Right. Now, by the way, that was Nixon and Gerald Ford, right?
Yes, it was.
And Gerald Ford actually took over as president.
Ford, Spiro Agnew resigned.
Right.
Nixon resigned. And then Gerald Ford became the first non-elected president.
Mm-hmm.
And during that era, we went into reforms after the heyday of the 1960s and early 70s. Now, what's happening now is we have the absence of any third quarter reform. Although this is a very exciting and productive time, and one in which I'm strongly predicting that the economy is going to grow, and the opportunities are going to abound, we're going to expand in every direction, what I would warn is that what is coming next is the period of reform after the emotional cycle crosses down in 2009 and the physical cycle crosses down in 2013, bringing us a brief industrial recession, giving us then a double third quarter of both the physical and the emotional cycles, having a strong double influence for reform. That means the country is going to be looking back on today, and they're going to evaluate, and there's going to be, you know, classic cars are going to be cherished, and entertainment icons are going to be, revered. But also, policies in industry and politics are going to be closely scrutinized. And the drug companies, I think, are going to have a lot of eyes upon what's happening now, and so are other industries, not to mention the lack, not only the lack, but the reversal of environmental reforms that were put into place by the previous administration are now being reversed to allow for drilling in Alaska and so forth, and I think this is going to come under scrutiny. Now, granted, there are arguments to be made for why these policies would be done, but I don't do that. I don't advocate and I don't argue,
right. But
I am telling you that cyclically it will be time for a period of review and reform. And I say to everybody, enjoy this day. It's magnificent, but watch yourself. You'll have tomorrow to answer.
Well, and this day isn't so magnificent for the little guy. It's magnificent for for industry, and it's the economy is booming right now, but it's booming at the expense of a lot of people. And so, as we go into the decline and the chaos, I think what happens is that the imbalances start revealing themselves, and then we realize that what the heyday was artificial. And now we have to reform and actually take
care. We do that when it's time. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, that we're not going to see for a little while.
All right. But at least we know that it's coming.
It is.
Yeah. So this is, you know, it's fascinating to do this. And we can do this with our own biorhythms as well. Do you help people understand their biorhythms?
I think there's a lot of people out there already who can offer very good analysis and information on this. I do reference biorhythms on my site. I give the information and how they work. And by any aspect, if you're understanding chiral rhythms, you're understanding biorhythms and vice versa.
Right.
Understanding one is just realizing the fractal relationship between an individual and the nation, its self-realization on a mass scale.
And people can go to the internet and have and see their biorhythms.
There
are websites.
Biorhythm charts. Google that.
All over.
You can find, they'll calculate it for you instantly.
Right. Now, where are you going to be teaching this so that people can come and hear more about it and see it and get it, you know, get it shown to their eyes, these charts that are so revealing?
There is a show tomorrow night at the Meta Center in New York at 219 West 29th Street at 7:30. We're going to be doing a presentation on chiral rhythms. We have the technology where we're going to project the website on a screen projector, and we're going to walk people through the massive work that we have on there and show how easy it is to learn and understand. And we're going to be doing a talk. I'll be handing out booklets on chiral rhythms, and people can attend merely by going to chiralrhythms.com, K-A-L-A-rhythms.com. You'll see the link for the upcoming events, and you can register. It's $20 if you pre-register online. You can buy your tickets online. Or you can come to the door. It's $25 if you come to the door, but you save $5 by pre-registering online, buying tickets. It's being sponsored by Mitchell Rabin of A Better World. And that address, again, is 219 West 29th Street. That's the Meta Center in New York. At 7:30 tomorrow, we're on the 16th floor.
Sounds great. And this is so revealing, and it's so helpful because for those of us who want to be aware of rhythms in our lives and how they've affected us and how they will affect us in the future. I can't say it's comforting because, you know, truth is not always, doesn't always make it easy. It just helps us strategize and make, you know, make better plans in our lives. So David Katzmeier, thank you so much for revealing chiral rhythms to us today.
Thank you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. I can be reached at heartriver, heartriver.org. And thank you for listening today.